Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. We're also heard on the Rapture Ready radio network, which is the network of our sister and guest today, Jackie Elnor. And we're back to our regular schedule now. I can't even begin to explain. Anyway, we're back. We'll be on every Saturday at 1 p.m. as usual. So with new programs, and there's so much to do and there's so much to say, because truly the days are evil. And we see things happening every day that just point to the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so what can we say? We can say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come quickly, help. Anyway, let me bring my guest on. Hi, Jackie.
Hello, Susan. Am I coming through?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. Well, good. It's always good to be on your program with you. And welcome back. I know it's been a trying time for you.
Yes, and it hopefully it all seems like a dream right now, so, or a nightmare, and it's over. But anyway, praise the Lord. So we hope to have Jackie on. Hopefully we can bring her on at least once a month to give us her updates, because Jackie has a new ministry venture. Why don't you explain to the people, Jackie, what you're doing?
Well, I have been, if you look at my YouTube channel, just look up Jackie Elnor on YouTube, you'll see the new series that I started called Genuine or Counterfeit with a question mark. And since I have, in the past couple months, this has been a crazy move, I've moved to center of Texas, the Bible Belt. And I have started looking at the different mega churches around here. This is an area near Austin, where I have never seen so many mega churches on every corner. I guess people here still go to church, but church looks a little different than it used to, look.
Yeah.
And so the genuine or counterfeit, I started a 10-star a testing to see how many of 10 items that we look for when we're searching for a church, how many boxes that a church might tick. And so I visited one in Dallas and a couple here in the Austin area, and I've got two more that I'm working on right now. And it seems that it's harder for people to find a place that is Bible centered and that believes that Jesus is returning to set up his kingdom. And those are the teaching and the eschatology, especially in these times, I think, are two very important things that we look for. Another area that I look at with every one of these churches, there is their worship. Are the songs biblical? Are people picking up just popular things from Hillsong or Bethel or some of these producers of music that are meant to twist your view of what Christianity is? So there's a whole lot of things that I'm analyzing each church on. And the point is not just to show the spread of apostasy and a new version of modern Laodicean Christianity, but it's also hopefully can help others when they're searching for a church to kind of know where to look for and what signs to look at before deciding if they're going to make that place their home fellowship.
Yeah. It's harder and harder these days, really, to find a good church with good, solid Bible teaching, because we find I enjoyed that part, especially in your video. I think you were talking about Ed Young and Junior there. And then you had something come up, the cult of the pastor God. And I really love that, because I see that so much. People in the ministry, they take themselves so seriously, and they want to believe their own press, and they put themselves on a pedestal, which, you know, you're going to fall off. You're going to fall off that pedestal. And we see today, more than ever, I think, the rash of pastor suicides, because they can't live up to their image. They don't allow people to relate to them as a friend, or they don't like you to call them by their name. They want a title. And all that's dangerous, really, because we just have to be ourselves and remember who saved us and where we came from, because none of us have arrived yet, that's for sure. We're all trying to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But we have a tendency today to put the pastor up on a pedestal, and most of them like being there. They like the attention. And so we're in a funny place, because we see this more and more in these churches, where they don't allow free thinking. They don't allow you to question anything. And it's weird.
Yeah, and for people like us who go in and test all things and ask questions when something was said that maybe wasn't quite clear and you want to clarify, so many pastors are on the defensive. And I mean, I suppose I can understand that after a while, because of so many apologetics ministries and discernment ministries, and people are using the internet, Christians are, the ones that really do want to know how to test things. And some maybe take things too far and get too paranoid, and some can really give some pastors some trouble. I mean, reacting with the wrong attitude, with one of attacking. And so sometimes, sadly, in fact, I used to have this discussion with some of my early teachers, you know, many decades ago, people like Dave Hunt and Walter Martin, that you know, they're getting the information out there, and we're getting the information out there. But some people will take that information, and maybe they're just not mature in Christ yet. And we don't want to be alarmists, even though some things are alarming. But different people with different personalities are going to take those things and maybe beat people up with it and go maybe way too far. And so, because pastors, I think, have had brushes with people like that, when someone that is just trying to help and is saying, oh, can I, you know, send you some information and help you see more on, you know, about this teacher that you just quoted, it might, you know, help you understand or something, then some of these pastors will get really on the defensive. And so the devil has succeeded in shutting everybody up so that no one will, you know, I hate to even use the term receive correction. It's more like, hey, we're all in this together, and you might not know about this, and hey, I saw this, can this help you? And yet they can't just accept it as that is. And you know, and I think, I mean, I have to watch myself with my tone of voice, because I can get excitable on some things that are just absolutely crazy that's going on. And you need to talk to somebody at a church about things that are really serious. And I would say I wouldn't yell or anything like that, but use a more urgent tone in my voice. It can really set people off, where they don't want to hear something negative or bad, you know. So it's very hard even for all of us to know how to speak the truth in love without totally clouding over what we're trying to say, just so that we don't ruffle any feathers. And I think it's, you know, now with things that are so tight in the world, you know, Democrats, Republicans, everybody's at each other's throats. Sadly, in the church, it's the same sensitivities. I mean, it's got to be the spirit of the power of the age, that, you know, the God of this world, that's just intentionally stirring up strife everywhere we go in all walks of life. It's gotten that bad. So for us to try to educate people for what we've been looking at and following and studying and monitoring for over 30 years, and we want to help some of the newer guys on the block who haven't seen all these things, you know, we might look to them as, oh, you know, I don't want to look at that because I just want to think nice, peaceful, sweet thoughts, and that could mess with my attitude. In fact, there's even pastors, people like Joel Osteen, and as I pointed out, I think it was with Ed Young Jr., that it's the Joel Osteen way of just give me nice thoughts, nice things, and don't bother me with harsh realities. Even if, you know, even if knowing about those harsh realities help you to not be taken in by them or fall prey to them. It's like pointing out where there's some quicksand and telling people don't go that way. That's the slough of despond. It's funny because I'm a major fan of Pilgrim's Progress, and I was just, I listen to the audio version of it sometimes when I'm going to sleep and I need to relax my brain. I was just going through the guys who, you know, hopeful and Christian, who were stuck in the castle of what's it called, the castle of despair or whatever, with the giant despair, whatever his name was. And and when they got out of that nest, they said, ooh, we have to put up some sort of sign or something that say this is the way to this evil man's castle, don't go this way because you won't do well, or something like that. They had to put up a sign. And that's all we're trying to do. When we see that, there's you know, quicksand over there, or there's the evil guy's castle, warning, you know, and these are some of these are very dire warnings to help people not to fall into. And so I guess it is kind of hard when you see somebody blindly falling into the hands of the enemy to try to say, no, don't do that, and try to help them. It's all about helping one another on the road. And that's why I love Pilgrim's Progress so much, because that's really all we're trying to do. We're not trying to make ourselves famous or, you know, or have everybody, you know, wanting to tune into us like they will some of the popular and more polished, you know, speakers. But, you know, even I love the way the Apostle Paul talked. You know, he didn't have any big convincing ability to speak. And Moses, he stuttered. I mean, but sometimes, you know, people only listen to the polished sounding people, and they're not necessarily the best ones to be following. It's usually the polished ones who are putting one over on you.
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't. The fact that some of these people are on television, of course, you usually don't get that far if you don't play politics. And so you have to reach a decision in your own ministry whether you're going to play the politics and have the popularity, or you're going to take a stand for what you know to be true. So on our journey, especially the things that we've seen and the things that we know, and nobody can tell me that it's not true, because I know what I know is true. And I have to take a stand for it. So, yeah, basically, when you go to church, we're all brothers and sisters. Of course, there has to be a leader and there has to be somebody in charge and that kind of thing. We know that. But we're all brothers and sisters, and we all learn from each other. So we can learn things without being afraid of each other. And so The Bible says that too, to know those that labor among you. So we hope most of our information is out there. So if people really want to know what we're about, they could read our books. Jackie has a book. I have a book. And we have videos and we have radio programs. I've been on the radio now for 10 years. And Jackie, too, has been on the radio. How many years have you been there, Jackie?
Nine years.
Okay.
Yes.
So we've got hundreds of programs. And so anybody can really get to know us or the work we do by checking us out. So it gives you some kind of credibility anyway, but that's our aim. We hope to help people, and we hope to help some of the people that have fallen into these traps with the false teachers and the false prophets. It's so dangerous because as we see the things in the political world, and we see the things, the chaos and how everything's shifting towards the one world government, it's the same thing in the church, that everything now is shifting toward the one world church and bringing everybody together under this so-called banner of love and don't rock the boat and don't be negative. Well, it's not being negative when you're pointing out, like Jackie said, there's the quicksand or there's the danger. So, but that's, I heard a sermon, or part of a sermon anyway, that Joel Osteen was preaching about, don't be a divider and don't bring things up and basically don't point out heresy. Don't say anything about it. But the Bible says that a heretic after the first and second admonition rejects. So the scripture is there. It says to admonish a heretic. And if they don't listen to you, then you reject them. And that's the way it has to be. So anyway, we hope that you'll tune in. You'll look at Jackie's videos. I especially enjoyed the one that she did when she went to Ed Young Jr.'s church. And I think we need to do a program. I'm quite distressed. I think that it's very, very distressing when you see Ed Young Sr., who, wasn't he the head of the Southern Baptist Convention at one point?
I know he's very heavily into it and very likely, but he does have a more respectable compared to his son, church,
yes.
Baptist Church, Southern Baptist Church in Houston. And his son is out of Grapevine, Texas, which is near Fort Worth, but he has all of these. Now this is the big thing now, the big trend with these mega churches is to have satellite campuses everywhere so that wherever you go to a church, you see this celebrity pastor up on the big screen. So he's bigger than life.
Yeah.
And, and like I said in that report that I did, I asked them, well, don't you have anybody here qualified that they can teach the Bible and get up there? Oh, we have pastors here. They talk to everybody afterwards. I said, oh, they're not qualified to teach. Well, they teach a Bible class here and there during the week behind the scenes, small fries, or whatever. But he's really, but when they get to where they think they're that big, they really end up turning into entertainers and not Bible teachers. They're not teachers. Bible. They're up there putting on a show with all of the prancing and dancing and gimmicks and props, and they rarely open their Bible except to back up some of the life story that they can share with you.
Yeah, a Bible. Who takes a Bible to church anymore? They probably don't even open a Bible because their computers or. But yeah, it's a whole new world out there. But Ed Young Sr. now is supposedly respected, and yet he does this conference with his son, with some of the biggest heretics of the day. And very, very frightening, really, because you see this whole merger of people coming together, and it's very, very sad because at one time when you went to, usually if you went to a Southern Baptist church, you knew you were going to hear the gospel. You knew you were going to hear the plan of salvation. Now, you just don't know what you're going to get when you go to these places. Just because they have the label Southern Baptist, you just, it's become so worldly and so new age. There's so much of the new age and this whole way of thinking that they talk a lot about your purpose and nobody could stop your destiny. And it's all about lifting the person up and self-esteem and these kind of things, which you're not going to make it when it comes right down to having to go through a major trial. And all of us have to go through trials. We just are going to go through trials, whether you like it or not. Nobody likes it, but it's going to happen because we have enemies. And yet, the Bible says that, yeah, we're not going to be popular.
Right, but they're telling us the opposite. They're telling us, hang out with people who believe in you and really lift you up. And don't hang out with that guy on the bottom rung there, the one who barely can lift his eyes up and just the one that pounds his chest and says, have mercy on me, God, a sinner. Stay away from that guy. Yeah. I mean, basically, they might as well be that blatant, right? When they have those messages of only hang out with people who will get you where your purpose says you have to go. And, this is the new gospel of Robert Schuller. Robert Schuller's dead, but his stupid ideas have lived on. And that's because his disciples have been so popular. He taught people like Bill Gothard and Rick Warren and, some of these guys who have launched big so-called movements of the emerging church movement. And so that came through Schuller. And of course, Schuller got his mentor was Norman Vincent Peale, who happened to be our president's pastor as he grew up in New York. And yet Norman Vincent Peale got everything from Ernest Holmes, who was his friend. And Ernest Holmes was the founder of the Church of the Mind Sciences, which was esoteric. Okay, so you can follow the path back to where these ideas, how they crept into the church. But, I know people like Dave Hunt were warning about these things creeping in back in the 70s and 80s. Well, now that's the norm. Now it's pretty much made its full nesting into what is known as the church, and it also has gotten into Catholicism. And so you've got Catholics becoming more Protestant and Protestants embracing old Catholicism, especially the mysticism side of Catholicism from the Western mystics like John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, those people with their contemplative stuff. And so you've got So in other words, all of the Catholics and Protestants are coming back together in a weird, spirit of the power of the air sense, okay, before they officially join, which is in the works. And that's one of the things we were talking about, because next year in May of 2020, the Pope has called for this big synod on education, where he is in conjunction with a Muslim, and so he's bringing together to call it what he's using Hillary Clinton's term of global village, that we have to get them while they're young. And pretty much he's going lining up the whole UN Agenda 21 new socialism Marxist ideas that the Pope is now endorsing and is wanting to call everybody together, leaders from all over the country, to figure out how they're going to restructure education to make sure the young people are programmed through the education system into falling in line with the UN's agenda. And he had recently come out and said, we must be obedient and submissive to the world powers such as the United Nations. And by doing that, he condemns Trump and America for wanting borders, because they want to bring the whole world together by no state rights, no countries being on their own. And so, everybody being, we are the world, we are the people.
Yeah.
And I know, but that is just, you could see the movement of the spirit of the age moving everybody towards this, and the opposition being persecuted, being silenced, and now they're the ones, though it was, everybody was warning about this in the church 30, 40 years ago, now we're the outsiders, and we're the ones, don't listen to them. And same thing with the voices in government who are saying, hey, we have to have our borders. We can't allow, you know, terrorists in, you know, under the idea of, oh, well, we're just refugees and blah, 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 so that they can get in and destroy us from within. And so those are like the, you know, the ones shouting the loudest are the Alex Jones and some of the people who have been totally silenced because maybe they scream a little too loud.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It's free speech is going to go by the wayside. But you're talking about this thing with the Pope, and I do have some audio. I think I should play this. I thought this was very, very interesting because now the Catholic Church has always been a wolf. Always. They, mm-hmm. for centuries, have murdered people in the name of so-called Christianity, which I don't like the word Protestant because I'm a Christian. They put that label on us like we were protesting something from the Catholic Church when there was always a church. So I like to study history, and I would like to even study more history about the church history, about what happened, because the Catholics like to, they like to label us as somehow we're protesting, we were protesting them. And no, we were just trying to point out that you shouldn't sell miracles and you shouldn't do the things that you do. But they had the Inquisition in the 1500s. Of course, it went on for hundreds of years, where if you didn't go to the Catholic Church, you were a heretic or you had beliefs that weren't like you, theirs. They would they would put you on a rack, or they would burn you at the stake. They would do horrible things to you. So this is it's not a form of Christianity at all. It's always been satanic, this thing. And so I'm not surprised that they're trying to bring usher in the New World Order the way they are. It's amazing, really, how he's not, they're not trying to hide behind anything anymore. They're just coming right out and saying it, who they are. So yeah. Anyway, I'm going to play this audio. And now this video was done by a man named Doug Batchelor. We don't endorse Doug Batchelor, but his video about the Pope and this meeting that he's setting up in Rome, I think it's in May of 2020. But anyway, let's listen to some of this audio.
A prophecy news update, but some things happened this week that we think should really capture the attention of most people, especially Protestants. I don't know if you're aware of what the Pope did on Thursday, September 12th, but he had a special video where he is now setting up a date to establish a global pact with the leaders of the world to re-educate the young people of the world. This was also presented by the Vatican in written form, as well as the Pope himself reading it on a video. And the date is May 14, 2020, and he's calling for the leaders of the world to come. Well, let's just play this video. You'll have it here on your screen.
Carissimi, nell'enciclica Laudato Si.
Oh, got to stop it already. First thing he does when he presents this video is he references his encyclical that was Laudato Si from 2015, and this was the Pope's encyclical on the environment. And in this, please don't miss, he starts his whole video by referencing his famous encyclical on the environment. which says on paragraph 237, on Sunday, our participation in the Eucharist has a special importance. Sunday, like the Jewish Sabbath, is meant to be a day which heals our relationships with God, with ourselves, with others, and with the world. Now, of course, this whole encyclical on the environment is talking about what we can do to save the world, the environment, and help prevent or reverse global warming. And he actually is implying that by keeping the Sabbath, and even says going to church on Sunday, we'd let the environment rest. I'll read on here. It says, Sunday is the day of the resurrection, the first day of the new creation, whose first fruits are the Lord's risen humanity and the pledge of the final transfiguration of all created reality. It also proclaims man's eternal rest. The law of weekly rest forbade work on the seventh day. He agrees it's the seventh day. And so that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your maidservant and the stranger might be refreshed. Rest opens our eyes to the larger picture and gives us renewed sensitivity to the rights of others. So he's basically saying that, you know, by resting, and resting people, animals, the environment, it's going to help contribute towards this saving of the environment. So don't miss the point that he begins his comments by referencing his encyclical dealing with the environment.
Tia collaborare per custodire la nostra casa comune.
Calling everyone to care for our common home, casa comune, that means common house, meaning the world. We have to work to save the world.
Per capire quanto è urgente.
Urgente means urgency. This is urgent. It's an emergency.
Sia la sfida che abbiamo davanti, dobbiamo puntare sulla educazione, che apre la mente e i cuori ad una comprensione più larga e più profonda della realtà. Serve un patto educativo globale.
We need a global compact on education. The world needs to be re-educated, and we need the leaders of the world to come together and sign this compact. And a compact, of course, is a firm contract, promise, treaty, or an agreement. So he's calling on everybody to come together. I wonder who's going to write that out. I say facetiously it'll probably be produced by the Vatican. And have everyone agree that we need to re-educate the world on what we need to do to save the environment.
Alla solidarietà universale, a un nuovo umanesimo. Per questo ho promosso un evento mondiale.
So he says we're going to promote this global event that is going to create a new universal solidarity. Now, that solidarity means a new unity, and that's been his mantra through his papacy, and a new humanism he talks about. You wonder, what does a new humanism mean? Usually, churches are
that is very interesting.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things is, and I don't think he mentioned that, but I was just thinking about it, is a couple of, maybe a year, year and a half ago, I think it was the state of New York went and got evidence for all the pedophile priests, and it was, really was turning into a big scandal where they were going to even bring a RICO case against the Catholic Church for covering up of pedophiles. When the Pope was asked about it, he says, well, I really don't have anything to say on that, except that, you know, I have other things to worry about, like the environment. So he had already given shown his hand, his poker hand with his poker face. Yeah. Oh, don't let those things, you know, the homosexual priesthood or the pedophile priest or all of the scandals that are going on within the Catholic Church, don't let that get in the way of let's doing what's really important, and that is to have a global vision for the planet. So those things were just little annoyances, especially when his second in command was sent back to Argentina and was found guilty of pedophilia, you know, and of child molestation.
What happened, though? The state of New York, did they follow through? Probably not.
You know, I don't know. I think it's all still in the works. And now I know this, I believe the state of Michigan is doing the same thing. But, you know, there's, of course, what all that did when it happened in New York is that it made everybody else get into their files and start burning a lot of files or erasing a lot of tapes. you know, because they have a heads up and so they're not going to get caught. And of course, there's Catholics who are against the pedophile, not only the pedophile priest, but the homosexual priesthood, and how the homosexual priests had brought in other homosexuals, and this started way back in the 60s to the point where today it's really the whole Catholic Church, those in the highest places of authority are either homosexuals or pro-homosexuals. And now that that has happened, now they're watering down, and they're starting to water down long-held ideas in the priesthood, you know, not just the priesthood, but also doctrines such as the Eucharist, which, again, this is where I was saying that the Catholics are getting more towards, and I say Protestant, that's what they call those who spun off from the Catholic Church. Anything coming out of Luther or Calvin or Zwingli, you follow those lines, and those, the mainstream denominations. They wouldn't refer to us as Protestants because we're Catholics.
But they've been very skillful at that, though, because they've managed to rewrite history and to get people to believe that there was always the one church, the Catholic Church, and then all of a sudden there's Luther protesting. And so they kind of make it like that was the way the Protestants broke off and started their own thing, when there always was a church since Jesus came and he established his church. So people don't talk enough about the history.
Yeah. But as far as what I was saying about the guys within who are opposing this, organizations like Church Militant with Michael Voris and the Remnant newspaper, which is even older organization than Church Militant with Michael Matt, these two men have been in opposition to the changes within, ever since Vatican II, but the changes within Catholicism that are trying to change the mass and the look of the church so that it can be, you know, more user-friendly to just everybody and not condemn homosexuals and all this kind of stuff. And so recently, because they've been making a bigger and bigger impact in the past 6 months or so, and now the Pope has verbally, he doesn't name the name of the organizations because he doesn't want people to look on them, but he refers to them as critical Catholic groups that God is not happy with because they are the accuser of the brethren. And so they pick it up from the stuff going on. So the same things that are going on within the Bible believing churches, if you want to even use that term, of the evangelical churches, the same battles there are being fought within the Roman Catholic Church. So there is this other side that wants to hold on to the old, you know, Latin Mass sort of Catholic Church and bring down, get rid of the corruption. So these groups are now gathering together, and they're now in Rome now, because it's just beginning next, I guess, Monday, is this other synod, the Amazon Synod that the Pope has called together to figure out how to help the indigenous people in Argentina who are, you know, nature worshipers and spiritists, and how to just make them feel comfortable in the Catholic Church without having to renounce their spiritism. And
about spiritism. They're full of it.
I know. And yet this is something the Catholic Church has always done, is merging the two to make people happy. But anyway, the beliefs of these traditional Catholics and their groups, and now they're going to be protesting in Rome. But the way they're going to protest is not to try to get inside, because they won't be allowed in. They're going to stay on the outside of where this thing is, the synod is being held, and they're going to get out there and just all of them recite the rosary all day long while the whole thing's going on. They're just going to be babbling Hail Marys. And because they've got their own seers and apparitions that have told them that all this dark time is going to come upon the Catholic Church, and there's going to be an anti-pope in place, and they believe this, he's the fulfillment of that, and that it is going to be Mary, the mother of God, that wins the day. And so they're going to be going out there and singing those praises and to Mary, and that's somehow going to help them. But it's what they have called for, like there's a bishop and a cardinal who are against what the Pope is doing with this synod to promote bringing on these third world religions. And it's called, he's got an 8-page protest called A Crusade of Prayer and Fasting to implore God that error and heresy do not pervert the coming special assembly of the Synod of Bishops for the Pan-Amazon. Well, that's the synod that's going on. So they're praying that that the stuff won't come in. But there was a paper that they all got that was kind of like the agenda for this meeting. And there's 8 things that they say come out in that agenda. And one of them is that, like, I won't read you everything under it, but you can look it up. The first one is implicit pantheism for these Aboriginal people, that they believe in pantheism. And so that they have to somehow adapt. Number 2 is pagan superstitions as sources of divine revelation. Yeah, because the Catholic Church is wanting to say, God got through to these people through their paganism, so they've got some truth. And number 3, intercultural dialogue instead of evangelization. So this intercultural dialogue is somehow we won't give in to necessarily to their beliefs, but we will accept their culture and let their pagan culture come in, and we'll Christianize it. Number 4, an erroneous conception of sacramental ordination, postulating worship ministers of either sex to perform even shaman rituals. So they're saying they're going to allow these people to have their own high priests, whether they be female, married, or anything else, and do their shaman rituals, but we'll try to Christianize them. I know.
It's not much different than putting that gold chalice on an altar and making all those hand gestures and all chants that they do, and then turning the bread and wine into Jesus. It's not much different.
Here's the 5th thing on the agenda: an integral ecology one that doesn't downgrade human dignity. So they want to bring the ecology of the Amazon. So they, I guess they want to put an end to these clearing of the rainforest. Number 6, a tribal collectivism that undermines personal uniqueness and freedom. Now, this is the people who are showing these are the things they're against that are on the agenda, and so. A tribal collectivism. You know, it's funny that they would use that term collectivism, because that's kind of what we were just talking about, how everybody has to start thinking the same.
Well, and that's communism, collectivism.
It is, but they want it global. And so this thing that they're doing now with trying to, reach out to the indigenous people of the Amazon forest and get them in on this unity of humanity thing, this is just to set the stage for what happens next May when they got everybody. So they want to be able to bring in the guys with their paint and feathers, along with the ones with the turbans on their heads, and everybody. We're going to be a collective humanity, and our common religious grounds is the fact that we're all human, is our humanity. And that's why the Pope is calling for this new humanism as a religion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Jackie, maybe we should send you to this event and you could report live from the scene at Rome in May 2020.
Yeah, it's too late for the current one, yeah. But hey, that would be great.
That would be terrific, though, really.
Don't have that kind of support.
Well, you never know. That would be a great event to attend.
Certainly.
Very interesting.
It would be.
But it's all coming to a head, isn't it? And the thing is, it's happening so fast. Everything is just accelerating to the soon return of Jesus and to this whole one world government. It's just happening so fast. But I'm going to play, I do have the second part of that audio, and I do have something from that event you're talking about where they're going to pray the rosary, and then I have the clip from Boris.
Okay.
We need to devote a whole show to him because he's so on the edge.
Yeah.
He's got so much wisdom, and yet he's blind. But anyway, let me play this. Wait a minute, where is this? Here it is.
A universal village. What a beautiful way to say a global law. Compelling people to think and worship a certain way.
Ma un villaggio anche personale di ognuno. Dobbiamo fondare i processi educativi sulla consapevolezza che tutto nel mondo è intimamente connesso ed è necessario trovare altri modi di intendere l'economia, la politica, la crescita e il progresso.
All right, so here he's saying the whole world is now interconnected. We need to find a new way to manage our economy. A part of what he's saying there is we need to spread the wealth around, which always applies to the masses of the world, which would love to hear that. But right there again, he encompassed the politics, the nations of the world, the economy of the world. Everything needs to be addressed in this global pact.
Dobbiamo avere il coraggio di formare persone disponibili a mettersi al servizio della comunità.
So now he's saying it's not just that we're going to train the children. He said this is going to be a program that we will train willing individuals to train the children.
Per questo desidero incontrarvi a Roma per promuovere insieme ed attivare questo patto educativo.
So how could you reject an invitation from the Pope? He's inviting the leaders to come. He says, I want to meet you in Rome so that we can promote this educational alliance, a global educational alliance of the world.
Insieme a voi faccio appello a tutte le personalità pubbliche.
Now he's saying, not only am I sending a personal invitation to the public leaders of the world, I want you to join me in urging them to participate in this. So he's actually going right to the grassroots people and saying, you tell your world leaders, the political leaders, the business leaders, the economic leaders, he even says sports personalities, anyone that has influence, they are to be encouraged by the people to come to this meeting where they will sign a global pact. Makes you wonder. I mean, maybe it's harmless, but it makes the, believe it or not, the hair stand up on my neck.
Che a livello mondiale sono già impegnate nel delicato settore dell'educazione delle nuove generazioni. Ho fiducia che non si tireranno indietro.
So we're going to educate future generations and we will not back down. That's what he just said.
Cerchiamo insieme di trovare soluzioni, avviare i processi di trasformazione, senza paura.
I think it's interesting. He said, we'll get together and we'll try and find solutions. You can almost be sure that when they arrive, there'll be something already written. Typically, it's a law of life, but the one who sets the date for a meeting, who sets the agenda for the meeting, who says the place for the meeting, is leading the meeting. And so there's no question about who is in charge here of this meeting.
Invito ciascuno di voi ad essere protagonista di questa alleanza.
Calls an alliance.
L'appuntamento è per il giorno 14 maggio 2020 a Roma. Vi aspetto e fin d'ora vi saluto e benedico. Grazie.
Thank you. He gives out his blessing. He says, I'm looking forward. I expect to see you there. And this is a very direct appeal to the people and to the leaders of the world to come May 14, 2020 to Rome. It may be in some larger assembly area or even in the Vatican, where he's going to say, we need a global pact to bring the world together, to educate our young people, to help save the environment and tangible things we can do. And he starts out by referencing his encyclical on the environment, where he specifically mentions the Sabbath, among other things. Well, friends, I can't...
amazing.
Yeah, well, Doug Batchelor sees it pretty clearly. But like you said, you know, we can't really necessarily endorse him because he's of a religion that really doesn't see – they really kind of don't have the belief in the millennial rule of Christ, but they're kind of seeing things as playing out to the end of the world and the judgment, but not the millennium. So that's why we don't even, you know,
yeah, he's
go
Seventh
there.
Day
because,
Adventist. That's
yeah.
Why basically we don't endorse him, but he did do a pretty good job reporting the news here. Yeah. Excellent
yes.
job reporting the news. So we, in that sense, we endorse his news reporting, but of course we don't endorse Seventh Day Adventism. But,
right.
And then I'm going to play this. Let me play this one. It's just a short 2-minute clip about them praying the rosary at this event that's coming up that Jackie was talking
faith.
About.
And we're not going to do that. We stay together, pray the rosary, keep the old faith. Do not be deceived. And if God so wills it, there will be martyrs among us too. And I'm not looking forward to it, but there will be martyrs. But first, before we even are called to the great sacrifice of martyrdom, let's go on offense. Let's go to war. Let's become crusaders. Let's become soldiers of Jesus Christ. And if this is the end of the world, well, let the end of the world find us standing as soldiers of Christ against the Antichrist, wherever they are. And in a few weeks, if you want an example of this, I'm so fired up, I want to share it with you. Remnant TV is going to be in Rome just before the Amazon Synod. And I'm so thrilled to join some of these guys, like my friend John Henry Weston and his team at the Voice of the Family on October 4th in Rome. There's going to be a bunch of other, several other demonstrations organized by courageous Catholics who, just like you, just like me, have had enough, and they know what's at stake. I'm going to conclude this program tonight by begging you, please, pray the rosary for the success of these initiatives that are coming up now. They're organized, they're effective, they're going to make a difference. Tell your friends, tell your families, right? It's not over. Don't give up. Don't leave the church. The Catholic clans are uniting for the battle of their lives. The battle for the preservation of the old faith. And once again, friends, we have the chance and the honor to be a part of that, to be a part of this history-making moment where the Catholics stood for the Bride of Christ and made the difference. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're united in the faith of Jesus Christ and His Church.
Yeah, that's Michael Matt of The Remnant, and I have met him in person, actually. I've spoken to him. Another very brilliant thinker. His father was started The Remnant newspaper right after Vatican II came through in the mid-1960s. And so that's how long they've been kind of protesting the new church. They see this, he's one of the Latin Mass guys, okay? They call him Paul the Sixth guys or whatever, but
yeah,
they're the ones that really think that all of the ecumenism that happened within Vatican II, which there was a lot of ecumenism, they even had a whole panel of, you know, air quotes, Protestants in there criticizing or giving them more advice on how to, you know, handle things. That's when the so-called Protestants were referred to now as the separated brethren, but ex-Catholics,
yeah,
like you and I, we're not separated brethren because we used to be Catholics. We're apostates, but those born into these other Christian churches are separated brethren. That's when that was determined. And then, of course, all the other changes that came through Vatican II, these guys from the Remnant see pretty much everything that came out of that as the start of the apostasy of the Catholic Church. And so now they have been, but apparitions have prophesied that these wonderful, great people would stand up against it and be martyred for their faith. And so now that's why they're now saying they're willing to die, and they probably will. But that's how far they plan to take it in opposition.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, very radical. They have a top-notch video production arm up there. Work,
yes,
that's for sure. Very, very excellent production.
Especially
but
Michael Voris.
Yeah,
Michael Voris.
And I'm going to play.
Yeah.
I'm going to play his coming up. He can see so much and yet he's hanging on to that false religious system. He's just hanging on, but oh, we pray for, let's pray for this man, because
certainly. And the two things they can't let go of are the real presence in the Eucharist, that it's actually the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. And they can't let go of the Catholics being the one true church, nor can they let go of the Mother of God, the Queen of Heaven.
Yeah.
Those things stumble them. They can't let go of those. And so they have to stay within the only system where they can have all that.
Yeah. But yet they don't like the system. They can see so much of the truth, but yet they're still blind. So anyway, I'm going to play this. This is Michael Voris, and he's a Catholic. Let's call him a Catholic apologist, but you'll hear this for yourself.
It's where lies and falsehoods are trapped and exposed. I'm Michael Voris. It's a little hard to believe, actually, but faithful Catholics are growing more and more concerned that Pope Francis's Vatican is on some kind of tear to advance globalism. And there's not only a lot of evidence to support the notion, there is at the same time not a lot of evidence to dispute the idea. Globalism is, in short, a governing system whereby individual nations cede or hand over some or all of their national sovereignty to a kind of collective government. So, by definition, globalism and nationalism are pretty much in opposition to each other. And faithful Catholics should not let their eyes glaze over on this, but remain, at least for the time being, up at the 60,000-foot level looking at it. This whole issue is being played out right now in U.S. politics, among the Democrats. And so, naturally, the U.S. bishops have gotten involved in all of this as well. Here is the extremely critical, gigantic point to bear in mind. Globalism would usher in one supranational governing authority that would have complete control, as though every current nation were just a little single state in a worldwide nation. If any Catholic, Orthodox, or even dissenting can't see the immediate theological, political, and cultural problems with that, then they must have no pulse, brain, or both. The globalists have been running wild for the past few decades, extolling what they say are the advantages of globalism. Indeed, the very concept of the European Union is a regionalized stab at globalism, despite its difficulties. Pope Francis and his globalist cheerleader crowd in Rome are posturing that the very foundational concept of individual nations is now little else than they're just nostalgic entities, which have become overrun by giant transnational corporations. And to carry that thought further, these corporations are all greedy, exploit the poor of the earth, poison the environment, and are able to get away with all of it because they get to hide behind and operate through the laws of individual nations. So for the Pope, there's only one solution to all of this: abolish individual nations, make one world government, and rein in these greedy businesses with fines, penalties, and jail time if necessary. So, some problems. First, this is little else than a high-minded sounding wealth redistribution program, a favorite dream of political liberals. Remember the encounter between Obama and Joe the Plumber on the 2008 campaign trail?
I'm getting ready to buy a company that makes $250,000 to $270,000 a year.
All right.
Your new tax plan is going to tax me more, isn't it?
Well, here's what's going to happen. If you're a small business, which you would qualify, first of all, you get a 50% tax credit, so you get a cut of taxes for your health care. And right now, everybody's so pinched that business is bad for everybody. And I think when you spread the wealth around, it's good for everybody.
Obama and liberals are all about taking the money of industrious hard workers and giving it to people who don't work hard or aren't as industrious. And they call that spreading the wealth. Of course, Obama, Hillary, and the 240,000 other Democrats currently running for president this year never include their own wealth in that equation. It's just your wealth that needs to be spread around. Second, the entire notion of such a one-world government is the ideal. It's the brass ring of Marxist communism. Even though Obama said spread the wealth, he was not the first guy with the idea. Karl Marx was. Third, the key question: exactly who would be the ruling class, the government, making the new laws to impose on the entire human race. And more to the point, what if the people wanted to throw off this one world government down the road? What mechanism for that would be in place? Fourth, what laws precisely would be imposed, say, for example, about maybe abortion or sodomite marriage or taxation and private property and so on? Fifth, when it comes to the specific area of religion, if there is one world governing body, then it stands to reason that there would have to be, eventually, one world religion or no world religion. Sixth, the Vatican city-state is its own national sovereignty. What would happen to it as it would be absorbed into the great universal governmental bureaucratic collective? Seventh, these liberal ideas are all the rage and have been in the West for decades, and political...
He's got it down as far as his... The thing that gets me is, of course, Catholics believe the Pope's infallible, but he doesn't.
No, because, again, they've listened to the apparitions, the seers, the mystics, who have prophesied the time coming of an anti-pope, when pretty much this is going to be the dark time of the Catholic Church. It would be the darkness, and that Mary will succeed in overtaking all of this, taking the devil down. They say that, you know, the Genesis prophecy about her seed bruising the head of the devil seed. They say it's she, not her son, not her seed, but her.
That
is the one that's going to crush. So when you see these statues of Mary, you'll see her stepping on a serpent. Well, that's because they call her the new Eve, okay, because she's the new Ark, because she carried Jesus. That makes her the new Ark of the Covenant. So, you know, rather than get into all of that, that is the thinking. So they're anticipating this major war, because that's what they've been taught, and then there's going to be that thousand year of peace when everybody is converted to Catholicism, and the Roman Catholic Church gets the great king and the great secular king and the great wonderful pope, and then they're going to bring in a thousand year new age of peace. So that is the now you know, you're not going to read that in the catechism, but you will read that in the different, you know, messages from different Marian apparitions and different visions of from stigmatists such as Padre Pio and things like that. So that's what they're relying on, and that makes them. That's how they justify that they're good Catholics, because it's quite okay for them to reject this Pope who is now, in their view, turned out to be the anti-Pope that was prophesied.
Yeah.
You know, so they have this whole different twist, and these apparitions have used different visions of things going on in the Book of Revelation and things like that in order to present it as if those are their own ideas. And so they've twisted Bible prophecy in this way to where the Roman Catholic idea of prophecy is so skewed. But I think that what I'm seeing as far as this being, you know, not only what's going on within in religion, but also in the world with this one worldism, it is, and we've talked about this before, but it is the undoing of the Tower of Babel. People are rebelling against the fact that God scattered the nations and scattered the languages. He did that for a reason. Yeah. And now they don't like that. And so that's what they're opposing. There's also, there's a Bible passage that just sprung out at me the other day. It's in Psalm 115 verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So in other words, the heavens belong to the Lord, and the Tower of Babel was trying to venture off into the heavens, and the earth is for us. And as soon as we get out of our domain, then we're going against God's will. And that's what they were trying to do at the Tower of Babel. And now they're doing that now into venturing into outer space and everything. And so, and of course you've got you've got translators now that you can speak any language by pushing a button on your Google Translate. So certainly, you know, the heavens are the Lord's, and we're not supposed to be going up into there, according to him. And if he intervened to stop the Babylonians from building that tower, then how is he going to not stop and intervene now when this is worse than it ever was with the Tower of Babel? And the Tower of Babel was more isolated in one spot when he, you know,
yeah,
quartered the earth and sent off the different languages. But now it is absolutely global. And so it's really history repeating itself, or maybe a final fulfillment of the prophetic understanding that these things were going to happen. And so this is, and this is, because nothing would be impossible for them, is what God said, and it would be only evil continually. And so here you've got the Pope grabbing for using all the other religions as a way to all come together, and now he's going so far as to go after the spiritists on the feathers and paint all the way in the Amazon to try to gather their power, their spiritual power, because that's the new idea that God has given some truth and some power to every religious system on the planet. And if we all come together and share those things and accept one another's revelation, then we'll all be one, and then we'll have peace on earth. Yeah. Goodwill to men.
Yeah. Well, they forget one thing. There's only one person that's going to bring peace, and he's the Prince of Peace. And so basically, it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out, especially with the Pope, because there's always been so many people that have said, yeah, the Pope is going to be the Antichrist. And who has more people that belong to an organization in the Catholic Church? Nobody has that many people that belong to an organization. So they do have, they've managed to be very, very good with their deception and their portrayal of Christianity, because people, when they refer to them, they still refer to them as a Christian church, which they're not.
That's the devil, and it's been the devil from the beginning, which is why the Apostle Paul wept when he left the Ephesian elders and said, after my departure, savage wolves are going to come in. They're going to rise up among you and not sparing the flock. And that happened immediately after the apostles passed off the scene. They didn't waste any time, did they? That was the
devil.
They
didn't waste any time.
No, the spirit of the power of the age, the god of this world.
Yeah, and we see it now. We see these parallels in the real church with the so-called church out there. And also, it'll be interesting to see who all attends this conference that the Pope is having in May 2020, which evangelicals will be going. The president of the United States go? Will he send a representative? It's going to be interesting to see who goes to this event.
Absolutely. I think we might be surprised. It might be some people we thought were nice.
Yeah, well, it will be surprising, because more and more people really are coming out of the closet with their beliefs, their globalism, and their one world beliefs. They're not trying to hide it so much anymore, because people are more accepting. They've realized that, especially when you see the propaganda that goes on every day in the news media, they just say anything, and they're going to get you to believe what they want you to believe, and they're going to do it at all costs. And it's the same thing with the false church. They're going to gather people, and they're going to get people to believe what they want them to believe. And if we don't read the Bible for ourselves and get to know God for ourselves, then we're going to be in for big trouble, because it's very important that all of us have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We stay close to the Lord. We stay in the Word, because that's what's going to get us through any crisis that we go through in our life, is that we can draw strength and from the Word. And especially if you spent time reading the Word and you have that Word in your heart, those scriptures come up when you need them, whenever you're going through some kind of a crisis. But we can expect, they talk about persecution. These Catholics talk about being persecuted and being martyred. Well, for true believers, no telling what some of us are going to have to go through. But ultimately, yeah, we win in the end, you know.
You know, and I think the scripture that just came to mind, I just looked it up, and Revelation 3:10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. And, you know, and he says, I know your works. I have set before you an open door. No one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. So those things to abide in the vine, I really think those are three important things, is to be strong in the Lord, keeping in his word, and never denying his name. And so that's, I mean, that's just the little strength that we got left, because you know what? How much strength do believers have now? Because they're just giving in and giving up and saying, I don't want to look at those things. I don't want to stay on the alert. I'd rather go to sleep and just get into my contemplative mood and have a little carpet time with the Lord, you know, and yeah, and not be on the look and see all these things coming together, so that we would know that the time is near, and to be responding with a big Maranatha.
Yeah, 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 a big Maranatha. Truly, the days are real. You just don't know what you're going to face sometimes. You just, you can't even begin to believe some of the trials that you have to go through, because the world is wicked. You think people are nice, you think people are honest, and you think people are like you because you're a Christian and you have certain standards and the way you conduct yourself. And you find out that when you deal with people in the world, they're not like you at all. And the standards are different. So we need to really stay strong. And even if you're down for the nine count, you might be down, you're flat down there on the mat, and they're going, eight, nine. But then when they say 10, you get up, and you don't go down for the 10 count. You get back up and you stay in the race, and God gets you through. And then the important thing is, don't look back. Just carry on. Today's a new day. And we need each other. We're going to need each other in these days, and we need to stay close together, the body of Christ and the remnant church, the real church that's not going to bow the knee and not going to compromise the things that we know to be true. No matter what happens, no matter if your friends leave you, your relatives leave you, your brother leaves you, your sister leaves you, no matter what, we stay close to Jesus, because he's the rock, and we know that he's going to help us when it comes right down to it. He's the only one that's going to help us. So we see things changing so rapidly, and every day I'm amazed at what's going on when I look at the news and I look at the things that are happening in the world system. And I think, wow, I never thought I was going to live to see this day. Right, Jackie?
Yes. Well, you know, as bad as it is today, everybody wants to hear, oh, well, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. You know, maybe in your own life. But as far as the avalanche that is coming down, where the Book of Revelation shows where it all ends up, that's, I see it in motion. I don't see where it can stop. And so, you know, enjoy the days today while you still can, that these are the good old days. The day is coming where no man can work, where yeah, you know, and we don't know how dark it's going to get before we are taking out of the way, when, as I just read that Jesus says he's going to keep us from that time of trial. Thank God and just be so thankful and have a thankful heart that that these things that are happening are did not take God by surprise, but that he is allowed, he's taken off his hand a little bit and allowing the people to, you know, have their own kings and go their own way and whatever is right in their own eyes to do. He's letting them go. We're not seeing, at least in with places where we've always had the gospel, it seems like those are the areas where he's not drawing people who have said no too long. And we're seeing in other, maybe even third world countries, where people for the first time are seeing the Bible because their nations can no longer keep it from them now that you have the internet and everything.
Yeah.
There are people who are coming to Jesus over there. It may be their season to come to Jesus. And, so as we see all these things happening, we just know that it's set in motion already and there is no stopping it. And so be grateful every day for the time that you have and enjoy your loved ones, because we don't know how hard it's going to get before the actual seven seals are broken, you know, when Jesus takes the scrolls. Because, you know, we look forward to being with him and to not turn our eyes against, away from these signs that are happening, because I think that's the way the devil can sneak up on you if you're not watchful. And yet, know that God has it all in control and enjoy what you do have and make the most use of the time that we have left and
That's
to get
it.
The word out.
And to get the word out. That's the most important thing, is to get the word out and to help the body of Christ stay strong in these evil days, because truly the days are evil. Very, very evil. We see how things are changing so rapidly, even when you go through neighborhoods and you look at how run down things are getting and the way people are living, and the drugs, the drug problems, the immorality and that kind of thing. So we need to just stay focused, keep our eyes on the prize and carry on to the best of our ability in these days. But anyway, Jackie, I want to thank you for coming on. Always a good program today, and we have to do it again. I would love to do a program about Ed Young. I thought some of those things were very, very interesting, some of the things that are going on over there.
Sure.
That entertainment center, really. It's not really
the Fellowship.
Church.
Yeah, it's called Fellowship Church, yes.
Oh, yes, Fellowship Church. But it's very dangerous when somebody, like I said, when you start believing your own press and you don't remember where you came from, because all of us, God picked us up out of the muck. He really did. He picked us up out of the muck and he gave us a brand new life. And it wasn't anything we did. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. We just received it. So we just have to remember to try to stay humble and stay away from these flamboyant, starstruck preachers. They don't really have too much to offer you. You find somebody, if you're looking for a church where the pastor's humble and he's got the right attitude about himself and about the work he does. And we pray that God raises up more godly men and women to carry on his work. So anything else you want to add, Jackie, before we close?
No, I know you always ask me, and that is how people can get in touch with me. And certainly you can look my name up, Jackie Alnor, on Facebook, and also look up the Christian Sentinel. It's just Christian Sentinel, SENTINEL.com for my articles and things like that. And, and pray for me. I've just asked for prayer because, I've seen since I started venturing into documenting the apostasy within these churches and everything, I've seen opposition come up. I mean, I guess, you know, we do see the spiritual warfare going on around us. And so we need to pray for one another and lift one another up. That's one thing I do like about my Facebook page. People put out prayer requests. I put out prayer requests that we can pray for each other and support each other in that way. So important.
Yeah, just mention
right now
quickly, because we were going to talk about it, but we didn't get to it. The way you were treated in that one church, would you talked about this more?
Yes, because I was just talking to a lady after church when I went to one. I will probably do a genuine or counterfeit on this church. And I was trying to find a good church. That's why I went to this one, to see if I could document a better one. And it's better than the other ones I've done. But the lady said, oh yeah, we all went into the Beth Moore thing. I said, well, you know, she's a false teacher. And I said, I was explaining to her how ecumenical she is, and her and, you know, she backed James Robeson. She backed the Holy Laughter thing. And the girl had never heard of Holy Laughter. She didn't know anything. She didn't know what ecumenism meant. And I thought, okay. And then the pastor interrupted and took me aside and said, if you have anything to criticize, you come to the leadership. Don't talk to her. I said it was just a conversation. I didn't come here to criticize. And so that's what I was, you know, indirectly mentioning, that pastors are very much on the defensive.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But that's, to me, that's a form of control, because you should be able to talk when you go to church. You don't want to be muzzled, so there's no ill intent. You're just making a statement. But anyway, I have to pray for the guy that maybe he'll do his own investigating and find out some things. So,
well, I offered to send him stuff. When he took me aside, I said, oh, well, you know, they went to see a false teacher, and I wanted to let her know that she could contact me, so I gave her my card. Now, here's my card that I could give you all the documentation and everything, you know, trying to help you out. You know, you just preached a sermon how we need each other. Okay, well, here you go. But that was a week ago, and not a peep out of it.
Yeah, well, you need me, but I don't need you. You know, I mean, sometimes you get that attitude, but
sure.
That's a sad state of affairs when you can't voice your opinion about something. I don't like to go to a place where I have to feel like I have to be muzzled, because I want to be able to talk about the things that I know to be true, the things that have helped me to stay strong in my Christian walk. So that's the same thing we want to do for others anyway. All right, so check Jackie out, her wonderful Christian news magazine, The Christian Sentinel. You'll find some great articles on there, and her Facebook page, and her YouTube channel. So check those things out. And God bless you, Jackie. So come back soon. Let's do another program.
I sure hope so. Good idea. Okay, good talking to you, Susan. God bless.
Yeah, you too. God bless you. Bye-bye. All right, everybody, that's the program for today. So don't forget now the most important thing. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, ask him to come into your life today. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he will forgive every sin that you have committed, and he will forget those sins, and he will give you a brand new life. Where can you get that from? Where can you get that? You can't get that. You can't get peace through money. You can't get peace through relationships. You can't get joy just with money. You can't get joy just with relationships. You have a need for God. He put that need in you. And Jesus Christ came to earth. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. Don't deny him today. Give your life to Jesus. You will never, ever regret it. Ever. And you say, some people say, well, I don't sin, but we've all sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory. There's only been one perfect person that ever walked the earth. and his name was Jesus. And we need him. We need a savior. That's why he came, because he's a savior and he saves us from destruction. And he crowns our life with tender mercies. So don't pass up your opportunity today to have a brand new life. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.